Welcome to Quick Brain, bite-sized brain hacks for busy people who want to learn faster and achieve more. I'm your coach, Jim Quick.
Free your mind.
Let's imagine if we could access 100% of our brain's capacity.
I wasn't high, wasn't wired, just clear. I knew what I needed to do and how to do it.
I know Kung Fu.
Show me.
Welcome back to the Quick Brain Podcast. I am your host and your brain coach, Jim Quick. And the topic we're going to talk about today is how to feel better in 5 minutes. This also could be how to have a better brain in 5 minutes, because I think that in order to feel better, we're talking about mental health, starts with brain health. And we definitely have an expert here in his podcast studio. Dr. Rangan Chatterjee, it's so good to be here with you. He's the host of one of my favorite health shows. It's the biggest in the UK and in through Europe. He's written 5 best-selling books. And the one I want to talk about here, I have a couple here. I have Happy Mind, Happy Life, which was so good. And this I actually haven't read, is Feel Better in 5. 30 plus 5 minute tips to lose weight, improve sleep, and move more. Thanks for being on the show.
Jim, I'm really excited. It's exciting to get to know you over the last few hours. I really enjoyed our chats on my podcast, and I'm a massive fan of your work.
Yeah, this was a long time coming. We've been talking about doing each other's shows for quite a number of years.
Yeah.
And I'm glad. Thank you. So right now we're in your studio, and we've been geeking out about the power of our own brains, you know, and keeping good mental health. And I wanted to have you on my show because it's been on our team's bucket list to have you on the show. When you wrote Feel Better in 5, is that realistic? Like, you're a busy man, right? You have your business, you have your family. We talked about juggling and we're all juggling. You know, what are you doing? And is it really possible to isolate 5 minutes and for happiness and health?
Yeah, 100%. Look, it sounds a bit like a gimmick, doesn't it? 5 minutes. But if I think about my own life and how I've managed to look after my brain, my body, my heart, whilst being, you know, married, 2 young children, busy job, as well as my job as a medical doctor. You know, I write a book a year, I host a podcast. I also, for many years, have cared for my elderly parents, mm-hmm. right? So I get what it feels like to be busy, but I've always found a way to look after myself through that busyness. And one of the things I always found with patients is that it will always say to me, "Rangan, I don't have time. You know, I want to be healthy, but I don't have time." Mm. I thought this was really interesting because let's take toothbrushing as an example. We kind of know that if we brush our teeth for 2 minutes in the morning and 2 minutes in the evening, which hopefully everyone listening to the show right now does.
Yes, please do that.
We know that 4 minutes a day of toothbrushing, generally speaking, is going to look after our dental hygiene for life. Sure, you're going to have a checkup and you may need some polishing and cleaning, whatever. But by and large, what we don't do is go, I'm too busy on Monday. You know, I don't have time for my brushing. Work's busy. I've got to pick the kids up, right? Tuesday, Wednesday. We don't do that. And then go, at the weekend on Sunday, I'm going to do a 1 hour deep clean on my teeth. Mm-hmm. We don't do that. You know, anyone listening now knows that sounds ridiculous. Yet when it comes to behavior change for our health, for our brains, right? We make it too difficult. We make it really hard. People think that 5 minutes is not enough, so they stop doing anything that's going to help them. And this is why they try and go for like a 1 hour walk at the weekend or a 1 hour yoga session. Nothing wrong with that. But in my view, not a substitute for daily practices that can help you. And these practices don't need to take long. Just like toothbrushing can take 4 minutes a day, I do a workout, a strength workout, every single day. I haven't missed a day for maybe 3 or 4 years now.
Wow.
And I would argue it has nothing to do with motivation. It's because I've applied the principles of behavior change into my life, right? And a lot of the time we don't follow those principles, those rules when it comes to ourselves, right? So I'll explain the behavior first, right? Mm-hmm. How do I do this? Well, there's 2 rules of behavior change. I mean, in the book, there's my 6 rules, right? But the 2 rules that I think I'd love to share with people are, number one, you've got to make it easy.
Yeah.
Right, so why do you have to make it easy? It's not a 30-minute workout. It's 5 minutes. Hmm. Even on my busiest days, I can't say I don't have time. Right, I do have 5 minutes. So what do I do? One of the things I do in my morning routine is I come into my kitchen and I make coffee. Now, I'm very particular with how I make coffee. I like the ritual around it. I like a specific type of coffee, right? So I get out my French press, I weigh out my coffee, pour in the water, and I put a timer on my phone for 5 minutes because that's how long I like it to brew for. Now, in those 5 minutes, Jim, I don't go on email. I don't go on Instagram. Mm-hmm. I don't scroll the news, right? In the 5 minutes whilst I'm waiting for the coffee, I do a strength workout in my pajamas. Right, now this is really important. Why do I do it in my pajamas? Well, I've made it about as easy as possible, right? I'm in my kitchen, I've come down, I'm in my pajamas. I've got a dumbbell and a kettlebell sitting in my kitchen. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes it's body weight, sometimes I just do some few exercises with the kettlebell. But before you know it, 5 minutes is up, then I put them down, and I'm rewarded with my beautiful hot cup of coffee.
Hmm.
Right, so why does that work? Well, number one, I've made it easy. Now, you've got to make it easy because, you know, one of the problems, and I've seen this with patients over and over again, we overly rely on motivation. Right, now motivation is important, and I know in your book, Limitless, you talk about motivation. It's one of your M's, right? So I get that. But I think we overly rely on motivation. And the scientific research shows us that motivation never stays up forever, right? That, you know, BJ calls it the motivation wave, right? Motivation comes up, motivation goes down. So here's the reality that most people, I don't think, are applying in their life. If you make something difficult to do, you will do it when your motivation is high, okay? What's the example of this? New Year. Right, people wake up on New Year's Day and they decide this year's going to be different. This year, I'm going to go spinning 4 times a week. Hmm. Right? And they do it for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. They actually get it done. But then 3 weeks in, something happens. Work's busy. You know, in the UK, it's raining or it's cold, it's dark. And you just can't be bothered because it's an hour's spinning class. So before you know it, the start of February, it's something you used to do.
Do you have too much to read, but too little time? Are your shelves full of books that you haven't read yet and become shelf help, not self-help? And that's why I created the Quick Reading Course. 15 minutes a day, 21 days will absolutely transform your life. Just go to quickbrain.com/reading. Use the code podcast15 and you'll get instant access.
So the problem is that you do the behavior when motivation's high, but when motivation's low, if the behavior is difficult, you don't end up doing it. But if you make the behavior easy to do, you'll do it when your motivation's high, you'll also do it when your motivation's low. So the reason I do a 5 minute workout is because I can never say to myself, Rongan, you don't have time. You don't have time for 5 minutes. So that's why, that's one of the reasons that habit has stuck now for almost 4 years. I've made it easy. So that's rule number one. Rule number two is, where do you put that behavior that you want into your life? A lot of people don't give this much thought. They just say, oh, I want to work out. I want to meditate. Okay, great. That's a great intention. There's all kinds of benefits for our brains when we do that. But they don't think specifically about, where am I going to put this in my life? Now, any behavior we do needs a trigger, right? Any behavior needs a trigger. So a trigger could be our memory, right? I could remember, hey, you know, I had a message with Jim a few weeks ago. We said on this day we were going to get together and record, right? Memory works. It just happens to be the most unreliable trigger that there is. So I don't rely on my memory for important things like meeting you in my podcast studio. Most people listening don't. They have their Google Calendar, or it will be written down, scheduled, the important things in their life, right? So memory is a trigger, just very unreliable. So what's a better trigger than memory? A better trigger would be some sort of post-it note, like a post-it note on your fridge or a notification on your phone saying, hey, in an hour's time, you've got to meet Jim, right? That also works, but the very best trigger for a behavior, as evidenced by the scientific research on behavior change, is when you stick that new behavior on to an existing habit, right? So your audience may have heard you talk about this before because it works, right? An existing habit is something you are automatically doing without much conscious thoughts.
Like making coffee.
Like making coffee, right? So in the morning, I don't need a notification to remind me to make coffee. I don't need my assistant to phone me at 5:30 or 6 a.m. say, hey, Rongan, don't forget to make your coffee. I don't need my wife to remind me. No, it's a habit. I'm going to do that. So therefore, not only am I going to do it, I'm going to enjoy it, right? So therefore, by sticking my workout onto my coffee habit, it happens. That's why it happens Monday to Sunday, because I don't miss a day on drinking my coffee. It's part of my morning routine. I love the ritual around it. It's quiet time for me. So I've made it easy. Again, I don't have to wear any special sports gear. Mm-hmm. I don't need to put on my running shorts. I do it in my pajamas. What else have I done to make it easy? I've set my environment up to help me. So I used to do just body weight. But then a few years ago, I put a kettlebell and a dumbbell in the kitchen. And I remember my wife and I had a conversation. She said, are you going to leave this stuff out in the kitchen? Can't we just put it in the cupboard or put it in the garage? Mm-hmm. And we actually had a conversation. I said, hey, babe, listen, if I put that in the cupboard or put it in the garage, I'm not going to use it. But if it's in the kitchen, I'm going to use it all the time. And again, it's one of those things. Out of sight is out of mind. Even if I pick up the weight just to move it out the way so I can get to my coffee. Mm-hmm. By having it there, I'm also visually triggering myself each morning to not forget to do it. So it's very simple, but let's be really clear about this. How many people listening to your show, Jim, know that moving their bodies, doing some sort of strength training is going to help their brain? It's going to improve blood flow. It's going to improve circulation. It's going to enhance the release of BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic fats. I know you've spoken about that many times in the past, right?
Yes, I hope all of our listeners know all that already.
Right, so they know that.
Yep.
But some of them, despite knowing that, won't be moving as much as they want. They'll think, oh, man, I didn't get my movement in today, right? Mm-hmm. I want to. Oh, I hear. Yeah, I've just heard the latest research. We start losing muscle mass. As soon as we hit 30, our muscle mass starts to go down each year. We know that the amount of lean muscle mass we have is one of the main predictors of our longevity, mm-hmm. right? And our health as we get older. Yet despite knowing that, they still think about strength training as something they're going to do in the future when the time is right, when they've got time, you know, when somehow miraculously things change, when the kids are always in bed on time, the email inbox is not going to overflow, you know, it ain't going to happen, right? So going back to your original question, is it realistic to change your life in 5 minutes? Well, I would say yes, because I've done this thousands of times with my patients. When I've seen what works and what doesn't work, you know, it's over two decades now that I've been in practice. So I've seen tens of thousands of patients. And I've seen very few people, in my experience, manage to turn their lives around completely overnight. Like, very few completely do an overhaul where I'm going to go an hour's jogging every day, 20 minutes of meditation every day. I've rarely seen it happen. The only time I've seen it happen, Jim, is when there's been a significant life experience, you know, something like a job loss, or there's been a death.
Yeah.
Or someone's girlfriend or boyfriend has split up with them. You know, something really big and emotional that has caused them to change everything. Sure, you can change your life overnight when that happens. But apart from that, I just haven't seen it that much. I've seen that these small changes actually are the ones that add up. So in my life, as a busy doctor, as a busy father, as a busy son, right, as a busy husband, I haven't missed a 5 minute strength workout a day. So that means, what does that mean? That means in a week, I'm doing minimum 35 minutes of strength training, right? And multiply that over 4 years. That's a lot of strength training, right? But I don't need motivation. I've set up a system whereby it happens. Now, the beautiful thing about 5 minutes is that, you know, sure, some days it'll be 4 minutes, right? But on some days, I'll have time, I'll be feeling good, it will be 10 minutes,
mm-hmm.
right? But the requirement to myself is that I at least do something whilst my coffee is brewing. We think it's got to be a 30-minute meditation session. Mm. It's got to be 1 hour of yoga. We think 5 minutes can't make a difference, but it absolutely can. And hopefully that's just one of many examples.
I love it. That's positive proof of it. Well, you want to challenge people who are listening or watching this right now? What can they do? What do you want to challenge them? And they'll maybe make a post. They could tag you. They could tag me in it and share
what they do. The first thing I ask them to reflect on is, because people who listen to your show, Jim, are going to be very motivated in general, mm-hmm. I would say. They're wanting to make changes, positive changes in their life. Right, so I want everyone listening to think back now and go, what was the behavior I tried to bring into my life that I wasn't able to make stick? Mm-hmm. And then think about those two rules that I've just outlined. Number one, you've got to make it easy. Number two, you've got to stick it onto an existing habit. Mm-hmm. I bet that the majority of people who weren't able to make that behavior stick were mm-hmm. not following at least one of those rules. Of course, not in every case, but in most cases I found they made the behavior too hard or they hadn't been intentional about where to put it. So first of all, reflect on that. And then I guess the challenge would be, you know, what's one thing, right? Let's not make it difficult.
Yeah.
Right? There's all kinds of lifestyle behaviors you're going to hear about on this podcast, on Instagram, on social media. The problem is we've got too much information these days. It's like, oh, I need to do yoga and Pilates and martial arts and this. You can't do it all, right? Pick one thing and apply those two rules. Break it down to something really, really simple and intentionally stick it onto an existing habit. Maybe borrow my 5-minute kitchen workout if you want, right? If you want to, you want to see what I do, there's a video on YouTube called 5-minute kitchen workout, right? But it doesn't matter what you do. Do your favorite moves, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. And then, you know, maybe tag you and me on social media. Let us know what you're doing.
I love it. Yeah, it can be easy and it can be very doable. And I want to thank you for joining us for this special podcast. I appreciate not only what you do, but also the manner in which you do it. It means a lot. You know, you're an unstoppable force of nature and inspiring force for good. So thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
So everyone, tune in. Make sure you subscribe. Get your copies of the books. I always recommend people get 3 copies of a book, 1 for yourself and 2 to gift out to others. And until our next episode, be limitless.
Want to double your brain speed and memory power? If you'd like to learn rapidly and get ahead faster, I'd like to give you my brand new Quick Brain Accelerator program. You will discover exactly what I teach my clients to learn, read, and remember anything in half the time. There is no charge. It's my gift to you for being one of our subscribers. That's kwikbrain.com. Growing up struggling with learning challenges from a childhood brain injury, it's been my life's mission to help you have your very best brain so you can win more every single day. Now, want more Quick Brain? Here are 4 ways to fast-track your results and lock in what you just learned into your long-term memory. Remember FAST, F-A-S-T. The F stands for Facebook. You're not alone on this journey. I invite you to join our free private online group. There you can connect with me, your fellow brain lovers, links to resources, and even submit your questions for me to answer in future episodes. Go to quickbrain.com. That's K-W-I-K-brain.com. The A stands for apply. Act on what you learned today. Remember, knowledge is not power, it's potential power. It only becomes power when you use it. So use what you just learned. The S stands for subscribe. Don't miss the next episode and other free brain training. And finally, the T stands for teach. You want to learn faster now? The key is to lock it in right away by teaching it to someone else. When you teach something, you get to learn it twice. Here's a simple way to do that. Leave a review on iTunes. Leave a review with your biggest takeaway from this episode. You could also post and share this podcast on your social media. It helps us spread our mission of building better, brighter brains. And of course, tag us so our team can properly thank you. Hashtag QuickBrain, K-W-I-K brain. Mine is at Jim Quick, K-W-I-K, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. So, what does FAST stand for? Facebook, apply, subscribe, teach. I'll see you in our next episode of Quick Brain. Until then, remember, you are faster and smarter than you think.